Well, welcome everybody. Man, what a powerful story to see Jody and Allison's story. It ought to just give every parent encouragement right there that you can pray for your kid. Come on, you can pray them out of trouble. You can pray them into Jesus, right? You can pray them up a good spouse like Jody got with Allison, right? Or you can, you know, pray that that God would bring them back home. If they move away, you can pray them to walk into God's will. But I hope and pray that you're encouraged just watching that story, that sometimes whenever you pray for breakthrough, man, God answers. Anybody here today need a breakthrough? If you just raise your hand. If there's some place in your life where you wish God would work, where you need God to move, come on, raise your hand. Don't be shy. Put it up. You need God to do something in your life. If you don't have, I pray by the end of this message, you're going to have something in your life where you say, I want God to move in my life. We all have some place where we want God to move, act, bring breakthrough in our life. So I'm going to talk to you today about how to pray through for breakthrough. Okay, how to pray through for a breakthrough. Now, we're 7 days deep into a 28-day prayer challenge. P28 is simply praying for the 28 days of February. We've been doing that for a long time as a church family, so you're stepping in today to an initiative that we're doing. We pray all year long. Please don't misunderstand, but in February, we really lean in. At a minimum, we say, God, I want to pray for about one thing for 1 minute at 1 o'clock every day. I want to pray about one thing for 1 minute, 1 o'clock every day for 28 days. Now, don't get legalistic with that. If you go, oh my gosh, it's 1:15 and I forgot, I'm a loser. No, just pray about one at 1:15, okay? You can pray about two for 30 minutes at 8:12. I don't care, right? The idea is that you would pray. Y'all feel it? The goal is not for you to legalistically hit your 1:11. The goal is that somehow for the next 28 days, you would become an ambassador of heaven to see the kingdom of God released on this planet. That you could pray with power. Here's the principle that I want you to wrap your mind around. No prayer, no power. Much prayer, much power. That's the theme of what we're going to talk about for this day. Now, we've seen God answer over the last few years. As we've prayed, God's answered powerfully as we've prayed, and I think he wants to do it again right now, today, and in this next few days among us. Now, today we're going to be looking at the book of Daniel. So if you have your Bible open or open up your app, Daniel chapter 10 is where we're going to be today. Now, that's an unusual chapter to turn to. Usually, if we're in Daniel, we're in chapters 1 through 6. Those are narrative, they're historical accounts of Daniel and his three buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they rolled back whenever they got deported from Israel to Babylon. So you hear stories about Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Y'all have heard those stories, right? Normally, we stop preaching at chapter 6 because that's when the fun stops. By the time you get to chapter 7, from chapter 7 through 12, it's prophetic. All right, Daniel gets a glimpse of what's coming in the future, and it's fascinating. Sometimes it's hard to comprehend. Sometimes I think we just don't want to comprehend it. This vision that he gets is actually foretelling accurately the rise of not only the Babylonian, but then the Persian, then the Greek, and then the Roman Empire hundreds of years before it happens. And then ultimately of the rise of the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. Now, this 21-day season of prayer that Daniel is in, he's burdened about the vision that he's seen in the future, but as he prays, God answered. Please hear me. He prayed for 21 days, God answered, and I'm saying to you that if you pray, what you're going to hear God say to you today through his word is if you pray, God will answer. Okay, you with me? Come on, we just sang, there's nothing that our God can't do. You just sang, I'm going to see a victory. There's a powerful name, and so now let's put that faith to work, okay? We're going to learn how to pray. Now, I will say today that the approach of the message is going to be a little bit different. Normally, I kind of, kind of talk you through some application as we're going through a text, but today I'm not doing that. I'm going to just walk you straight through a text, trying to give you the sense of what's happening. And then at the end of it, I'm going to give you 5 words that have powerful principles to help you pray through for a breakthrough. Okay, you with me? Now, I got a long way to go in a short time to get there. Any of y'all remember that? So watch old Bandit run. That's what's about to happen. I talk fast, but you ain't seen nothing yet, right? I got 2 extra pages of notes, and we got to get it all in, okay? But listen, as quickly as I want to move through the material, and I may read more than normal, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit of God is moving in this place right now, right here in this room where you're sitting right now while you're listening. The Spirit of God is moving, and He wants to empower you. He wants to build faith, revive dreams, give you hope for your future. And it'll happen as you learn to pray. Come on, would you receive that right now? Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. Here's the story. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, and the message was true. You ought to underline that. It was true and one of great conflict. But he understood the message. Daniel understood it, and he had understanding of the vision. It's hard, but it's a hard word, but Daniel gets it. Now Daniel starts writing in first person. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I didn't eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were complete. Now I'll stop right there and say, verse 1 is giving a timestamp of the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia. This is all historical. You can go look it up in a history book. Cyrus ruled the kingdom of Persia. It's very interesting that the first year of Cyrus marked the 70th year since Israel had gone into captivity. Now, anybody remember the Bible says in Jeremiah they were going to be in captivity 70 years. When Cyrus comes to power, his first year, guess what he does? He passes a law that enabled the Jews to go back to Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing? The Jews get to go back home. According to the Word of God, they're back there now, and yet the Bible says they've been back there for a couple of years, and yet here Daniel is. He's burdened. His heart is heavy. He's mourning, the Bible says. He's like a heartbroken family member at a funeral. He's weeping before God. Why? Maybe he's burdened over the reports that he's heard from Jerusalem. Now, if you read the book of Ezra, right? The book of Ezra talks about the people who go back, 50,000 of them. They get back, they're pumped, they're stoked, they're fired up. They start building the foundation of the temple, but somewhere along the way, they lose energy and momentum. That ever happened to you? Fired up for Jesus, baby! But somehow you burn out for Jesus. And they lost interest and they got distracted and the temple foundation's there, but they're not with it anymore. They've returned back to the land of blessing, but they didn't turn to God. And Daniel sees that, he hears that, and his heart is broken. That ain't it. That ain't it, people. If you just have the blessing, but you don't have God, you got nothing. Let the hearer hear. In this world today, if all you pray for is the blessing of God, but you don't return to the heart of God, you've got nothing. So maybe he's burdened over that. Maybe he's also burdened over this vision regarding the future of God's people. It's a vision of great conflict and warfare. The future was not going to be pretty, nor was their future going to be one of freedom. They would be oppressed, not only by the Persians now, but then by the Greeks to follow and the Romans after that. They would be persecuted in horrific ways for hundreds of years, and the vision was true. It was certain. It was reliable. You could bank on it, and this is weighing on Daniel. He's struggling to make sense of this vision. He understood it. He knows what's going to happen, but he doesn't get why. Why, God? Why, God, would you let your people have to face what's coming? It's going to be a hard future. God, why? Feel it? He knows. He sees. He's not questioning what God's going to do. He's saying, God, why? I just don't understand. And so Daniel began to fast for 3 weeks. No meat, no sweets, no wine, no oil on his head. This was not a time for business as usual. It was not a time for, you know, partying and carrying on. Daniel longed for breakthrough. He longed for answers and understanding more than he longed for the things that satisfied his body. That's what fasting is. It's giving up earthly things to pursue and focus on spiritual things. So Daniel's fasting. Now, I'm not going to read verses 4 through 8. They contain a vision of a heavenly being. Maybe it's Jesus. Maybe it's an angel. Not sure. No matter who it is, the vision is overwhelming. When Daniel gets a glimpse of it, he sees it. His friends around him don't see it, but they hear that something's happening spiritually. And they get scared. They freak out. They run away. Daniel is frozen. The Bible says that he has no strength. He turns pale as a piece of paper at this vision. Now, I need to stop right here and say, there is a very real spiritual realm that surrounds you right now, and yet it is invisible to the human eye. God will occasionally open up your eyes and help you to sense and experience or to get a glimpse of this spiritual realm and reality. Some of you who know the Bible may remember in 2 Kings chapter 6, when Elisha is surrounded by the army of the Arameans, he peeks out the window and says to his servant, "Don't worry about that. There's more with us than there are with them." The servant's freaking out. "What do you mean? There's only two of us. There are thousands of them." And he says, "God, would you open the man's eyes so he could see?" And then he peeks out the window, the servant does, and he sees the hillside full of the angel armies of God. He got a glimpse. Jesus said to Pilate, "Bro, don't think I can't call my father to send me some angels. I got 12 legions right now." There's a spiritual realm. And my prayer in this moment is that somehow God might open your eyes to spiritual reality by his Spirit. This story is going to get even more weird in just a minute. But you got to believe. You got to believe right now. And I'm asking you, do you believe in a real God? Do you believe in angels and a spiritual realm? Do you believe it? Come on, just mutter your answer out loud. You ain't got to shout it, but do you believe it? That they're not just real, but they're here and they're warring on your behalf. Verse 9. Daniel says, "I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words," so this spiritual being starts to speak. He said, "As soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground." As the person speaks, Daniel passes out. And I've seen some of y'all do that when I start to speak too. Right? I mean, y'all know what I'm saying? Y'all in the spirit, something like that. Now, look, it's been said that if everybody who slept in church was laid head to toe, they'd be a lot more comfortable than sitting there bobbing, you know, in the chair. I don't know. But what happens to him, he's not sleeping. We would call it, in today's terminology, he's slain in the spirit, which can be hijacked sometimes. Here's what that means. He was so overwhelmed in the presence of God that he fell on his face as if he were a dead man. Now, please note, some of y'all are into this kind of stuff. Some of y'all, it's ain't even registering to you. But if you are, please note, every time in the Bible, my seminary professor pointed this out to me, every time a person in the Bible is slain in the spirit, overwhelmed at the presence of God as a believer, they always fall on their face. Never backwards. Everybody who falls backwards in the presence of God is always a non-believer. Now, put that in your pipe and smoke it for a little while. That'll help you see something, okay? Verse 10. "Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and my knees." Now, this is where I believe if the vision was earlier was of Jesus, then now it's another person who's beginning to touch him, okay? If it was an angel, maybe it's the angel, but you'll see why in just a minute. "But behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, 'O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words I'm about to tell you, bro. Stand upright, for I've now been sent to you.' And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling." This hand, now we don't know whose hand it is. Maybe it's Jesus, maybe it's an angel. I think it has to be an angel. I don't think it's Jesus at this point. He touches him and he says, "Daniel, get up." And all Daniel can do is get to his hands and his knees. And the angel says to him, "You're a man of high esteem." It means you're precious, Daniel. You're a man of preciousness. Here's what I think that's speaking. Daniel is precious in the sight of God and before the spirits of heaven. God loves this man, and he cares about this man who was following him at 15. Now he's probably 85, 86 years old, 87 years old, and he's become precious in the sight of God. Daniel's freaking out because he knows this supernatural being can smoke him in a heartbeat, but the message of the angel is, "Bro, I ain't here to hurt you, man. I'm here to help you." Can I just say to everybody in our faith family right now, for God to smoke you, if you are aware of God's presence, it ain't nothing for him to smoke you if he wants to. You ain't all that. I ain't all that. We're nothing before him. If he wants to smoke us, he can. But please hear me. You're precious in his sight. He gave Jesus to live and die for you, raised from the dead, to make you alive so that you could be with God. And the message that I speak over you today is this: God is not here today to hurt you. He's drawing near right now to help you. If you'll let him. Will you let him? In the spiritual realm, God is calling you close. Verse 12, then he said to me, don't be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before God, he's telling you how Daniel had prayed. From the day you did that, your words were heard. And I have come in response to your words. This verse tells us two things. It tells you how Daniel prayed, and I think it's partly why he was highly esteemed in God's sight. He prayed with humility. You humbled yourself under God. Please hear me. When you humble yourself under God, you're surrendering your will and your way to God's will and God's way. And when you humble yourself under God, God moves. If you elevate God in your life, God will return the favor. If you make God and His will the most important thing in your life, you're going to be surprised at how often your prayer becomes powerful. Are y'all with me? But now let's flip it over. If you refuse to humble yourself before God, if the only time you pray is whenever you want God to do whatever you want God to do, and if God ain't going to do it, then you ain't studying God. You ain't going to get no powerful prayers in your life. Come on, what are you praying for? You praying about your marriage? Praying about your job? Praying about your finances? Praying about your health? Praying about your kids? What are you praying about? Humble yourself under God. The first step in becoming powerful is to say, God, I don't even know what I'm praying. That'd be the most honest prayer some of y'all have ever prayed. God, I don't even know what I'm talking about here. I think I know, but I really don't know. So I'm going to just humble myself under you and say, God, you know more than I know. And Daniel prayed for understanding. Please, please mark this. He didn't pray for God to fix the problem the way he wanted it fixed. He got this burden, and he doesn't demand, God, you better change that or I ain't going to be very happy. No, his prayer was apparently this: God, help me understand what you're doing. I want to accept and embrace your plan, not my plan. He understood the vision, bad days ahead, but he doesn't understand God's plan in it. Why would God allow this? Daniel didn't pray to God and say, God, you better bend toward what I want. No, his prayer, please watch this. This is learning to pray like this. If you're around here very much, you're going to see us pray like this. This is what it means. God, I'm not demanding you do what I say. God, I am surrendering to you. I'm under you, and I'm saying, God, would you bend me and my prayers to your way? Y'all with me? If I'm praying wrong, God, change me, change my prayer. That's what Daniel is in essence praying. It's what he prayed. Now, what happens when he prays? God answered. The messenger's there in answer to his P21. Right? He prayed for 21 days, and the man said, I'm here. I was released when you started praying to give you this word. Here's a promise to you, Psalm 34:17. The righteous cry, the children of God, the people made right with God, we would say now by Jesus, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Write that verse down, Psalm 34:17. Put it on 3x5 card, make it your screensaver, whatever it's got to be. But you bank on that promise. Come on, Pine Lake, pray. He said, ask and I'll give it to you. So Daniel's praying and God is saying, I'm answering. Now, the question is, why is it 21 days later he's just not getting an answer? I mean, if he was sent on day one, you prayed, and I'm on the way, why did it take you 21 days? Where you been, man? Here's where the story gets really weird. I'm just being real with you, being honest with you. It gets very, very interesting, but it gives you a picture of what's happening in the spiritual realm all around you, all the time, all over the world. If there is a real God and real angels of light, and y'all said a while ago, y'all believe in that. Y'all didn't say it very strong. I was kind of disappointed in that, to be honest. But you said you believe in God and you believe in angels. Well, then guess what? There's a real enemy and real forces of darkness. Do you believe that? Because we may be hitting on something right now. That what we see ain't all that it is. Something's going on at your house. Something's going on at your work. Something's going on in your community that you can't see. Oh, but it's real. Verse 13, he tells why. I was sent the first day, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, we know who that is. That's the archangel Michael, one of the chief princes. He came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings, plural, of Persia. the angel reveals that there were spiritual forces of darkness fighting against him, trying to keep him from getting the answer to David. Come on, y'all gonna watch the Super Bowl after a while, and Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady gonna be trying to get the ball to their receivers down the field so they can score a touchdown, but it's gonna be 11 guys on the other side of the field saying, I don't think so, I'm gonna steal that ball and go the other way. Daniel has prayed, God's trying to get the answer to Daniel, and the enemy is resisting. Please hear me, the prince of Persia is not Cyrus, he's the king of Persia. The prince of Persia is talking about an evil demonic force who has territorial authority apparently to try to impact Persia negatively and turn it against God. Come on, I told you he's gonna stretch you a little bit. And it's not just one. The angel says, I was with the kings, plural, of Persia, other evil forces that are resisting the work of God in that place. Now, some of y'all think about, man, that's the Old Testament, bro. You better give me some New Testament. Okay, let me give you one. Just one. I can give you a bunch, but Ephesians 6:12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. The problem ain't your husband. It ain't your wife. It ain't who's in the White House or the governor's mansion. There's a spiritual dynamic that is taking place, and we've been fooled, we've been hoodwinked, we've been short-sighted. All we see is what we see. But there's a real spiritual battle for your soul, for your family, for the people that you love, for the heart of our nation, and God is saying, you better man up and go to war spiritually. Some of y'all ready to go to war. Y'all ready to do this and do that and let your voice be heard, and God says, that ain't it. That ain't it. You fighting about the wrong kingdom. You better be fighting with the spiritual kingdom of God. That's our calling. Your addiction is more than just cravings of your body. There are forces of darkness. And these spiritual forces of darkness fought against and resisted this angelic messenger. And I think this is where God is calling us to shift our praying. Here's a comforting thought, however. These people are trying to resist, but they can't stop God. These forces trying to resist, they can resist this, maybe this under angel. You don't even know who it is, but there are levels of angels. Michael's an archangel. He's a powerful angel. When Michael shows up, everybody stops. He's holding all the forces at bay. He said, man, you go on and take care of business. I got this. I know that's kind of my human way of explaining it, but please hear, in the spirit realm, that's what's happening. One angel is keeping everybody at bay so that the work of God and the will of God can be done. Can I just speak over you? You ain't got nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear. Our God rules and our God reigns. And that's what Daniel needed to hear, bro. It is going to go from bad to worse, and it's going to be an ugly, nasty picture in the future. But don't you fret. God and the forces of light win. Jesus Christ will be victorious. You keep praying, Daniel, for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth like it is in heaven. Verse 14, the angel says, now I've come to give you an understanding of what's going to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to days yet future. Now there's a gap between verse 14 and 15, I believe, because we don't know what it is. The angel never says what the message is. I think chapters 11 and 12 are the message, and it's a painful message. Verse 15 says, when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground, and I became speechless. The message that he got was not what he had hoped for. It's not what he was praying for. It wasn't a breakthrough that he was counting on. It was a devastating word. That vision of Daniel 11 and 12 is not, it's not one of all the Christians on vacation. We went in. No. It is a painful picture of conflict. The angel revealed how God's people in both the immediate and the ultimate future would face hardship, oppression, persecution, and death from people controlled by these forces of darkness. But both immediately when Jesus comes for the first time and ultimately when he comes again, the people of God will be victorious. You now have spirit life. You're spiritually alive to God through Jesus Christ. Now, America and this world are no longer your hope nor your home. Jesus is our conquering King who will one day break all the power of darkness. Now, come on, shift your focus. Shift your focus. Your kingdom that I can't see, but let it become reality around me. Verse 16, and behold, one who resembled a human being was touching my lips. Then I opened my mouth and I spoke and I said to him who was standing before me, oh my Lord, as a result of the vision, anguish has come upon me and I've retained no strength. For how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such as my Lord? As for me, there remains just now no strength, nor has any breath been left in me. Daniel, in essence, is saying, I can't handle this. I got no strength. I can't even breathe. I'm devastated. I'm overwhelmed. What I prayed for is not happening like I wanted it to happen. It's not good news. It's not positively encouraging. Caleb, it's not what I was hoping for. You ever felt that way? Come on, be real with me. You ever felt that way? I have. I have. God, this ain't going like I thought. This is not what I was asking you for. And I think it's honestly why some of us don't pray and why you don't believe, because if God's not going to give you what you want, well, you ain't playing. And I just, my heart breaks for you. It ain't about you. And until you die to yourself and recognize you need Him, and if you'll just trust Him, He will begin to work to put your life together according to His plan. And that's the best way. Verse 18. Then this one with human appearance touched me again and strengthened me. And he said, O man of high esteem, don't be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now, as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength and said, may my Lord speak, for you've strengthened me. Please hear me. God didn't give Daniel what he wanted. He gave Daniel what he needed. He's asking for, God, please, is there any other way? God, please help me understand. God, I don't know. I don't get it. And God sends to him strength, literally vitality. Daniel at this point is probably 85, 87, 88 years old. Any of y'all that old yet? No, you're like 62, and you're like, man, I don't even see how I get out of bed in the morning. My brother ain't even sleeping on that sleep number like you. Daniel's seen some stuff, and yet God strengthens him. I ain't through with you yet. You ain't leaving this place till I say so. God strengthens him, gives him peace. Daniel's got anguish. Daniel's overwhelmed, and yet God says, peace. Peace. I'm not solving the problem. I'm going to give you peace in the problem. Take courage, Daniel. Learn how to encourage yourself and strengthen yourself in this fight. You're going to win, boy. It's going to all be okay. May not go like you want, but it's all going to be okay. Verse 20. Then he said, do you understand why I came to you? The angel's asking Daniel, you understand why I came to you? But I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. Man, I'm about to leave. I got to go back to the spiritual fight. I'm going forth, behold, the prince of Greece. There's another spiritual battle about to take place, right? Alexander the Great is on the way, but it ain't just him. It's the forces of darkness that are coming to try to control the world and snatch it away from God's plan. Prince of Greece is about to come. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth. Hey, before I leave, though, bro, you can write this down. There is no one who stands firmly with me against these forces except Michael, your prince, but he's your prince. And he's fighting for you, and that'll be enough. Do you know why I came to you? Do you know why I came? It seems like such a silly question. Do you know why I came to you? Well, the obvious answer is because I prayed. God sent you. You had no choice. A little more thoughtful answer would be because you're answering my prayer. You're giving me additional understanding. But the ultimate answer, please hear, is the angel came to give Daniel peace, strength, and courage so that Daniel would keep on fighting spiritually on his knees. He came to fortify him so that he could write this vision down so that you and I could be encouraged in our moments of weakness. that though we feel alone and we feel like God ain't working and it's a spiritual fight and we feel like we're losing, your God's going to come through. He may not give you what you want, but he's going to always give you just what you need. Now, let's wrap up. I'm going to give you five words real quick, coming right out of this text. Five words that if you'll pray this way for the next 21 days, I think God will give you a breakthrough. First word is burden. Burden. B-U-R-D-E-N, burden. Daniel was burdened. His heart was breaking over the condition of God's people and over the future that he could foresee. And his heart was weighed down, and he said, God, I need help. I need you. Come on, you got a place in your life like that. A place in your life where what you see and what you're going through, you're just crying to God, I need some help, God. I have a burden in my heart. Please hear me. Because when you have a burden in your heart, you're willing to fast and give up earthly things for spiritual help. That's what fasting is. And whenever you begin to fast from a place of burden, your prayers all of a sudden have focus. All of a sudden you got more time because you ain't watching Netflix. You got more time because you ain't going to lunch. You got time now. There's power whenever you pray because your spiritual sensitivities rise up. I had to look this up, but this is actually a scientific fact. If you lost your sense of sight, your brain would rewire, has neuroplasticity, it would rewire to sharpen your sense of hearing, smell, taste, and touch. Ain't that a freak? But that's true. If you will shut down your body and physical demands and desires in favor of spiritual things, if you shut this down, your spiritual sensitivity, your ability to hear from God and sense God and know what God wants you to do, it will go up. You with me? Daniel fasts and prays for 21 days. It's called the Daniel fast. Now, I'm going to ask you, what could you fast from for the next 21 days? Starting tomorrow, not today. Today's Super Bowl day. I'm going to let y'all eat all the chips and dip y'all want. Get them wings in while you can, because tomorrow that's over with. All right, for 21 days, right? What is it that you could do without for 21 days to focus on spiritual things because you want it so badly? And I'm not asking you to give up something, you know, that ain't even going to matter. I'm not going to fast from cauliflower because I ain't eating cauliflower no way. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm not eating that anyway, so it'd be like silly for me. Oh, I'm going to fast from cauliflower. Oh, aren't you the man? No. But if I say I'm not going to drink any soft drinks, have any sweets, eat any potato chips, or get on social media for 21 days, that may not be none to y'all, but that's life-changing to me. What could you give up? I'm not asking you to do an absolute fast. God might, where you don't eat anything. What could you give up out of a place of burden? Second word is this, surrender. Surrender. Daniel humbled himself before God and wanted understanding. And I think this is the equivalent of what Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6. You know it well. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's his way of saying, God, I don't want to get what I want. That's not what I'm after. Make your name great in my life. And God, if this prayer request is jacked up, straighten it out. Help me to get what you want. Y'all with me? So if your P28 is just a selfish demand, that's probably not going to work. But if your spiritual cry became, God, I don't even know how to pray about it anymore, but I just want what you want. I surrender it to you. I surrender my life to you and my plans to you. Now you're ready. And I would say that God moved in Daniel's life. He didn't stop the war and the conflict from coming. It was a necessary part of the plan. But God did help Daniel to be able to face the hard future with confidence and hope. God doesn't always remove the hardship from your life. He doesn't always take it away. He can split the sea. He did that. He can calm the sea. He did that. But he never took the sea away. And so he doesn't promise to take away your problem. He may just help you make it through the problem. Y'all with me? But Daniel was a powerful prayer because he was surrendered, not just in his request, but in his life. I encourage you to go back and read the first six chapters of Daniel. How Daniel, at 15 years age, come on, high school kids, who am I talking to? 15 years of age, Daniel says, man, I don't care what y'all throw at me in this culture. I got convictions based on the Word of God that this is the way I'm called to live, and I'm down. That's the way I get down. That's the way I roll. And ain't nothing changing that. And if I die, I die. Y'all with me? Then you better quit praying. You better quit praying. You're going in the lion's den. Well, chunk me. Chunk me. I'd rather die than dishonor God. Come on, feel me. Daniel was surrendered not just in his prayer request, but in the life that was bringing the request. A pure life leads to powerful prayer. Here's the third word, fight. Third word's fight. I got a burden. I'm surrendered, but man, this is a fight. It's a spiritual war. Spiritual realities surround you. They surround me. And prayer is your moving into the spiritual fight. So put on your spiritual armor and go to war. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer, this is at the end of the section on spiritual warfare, putting on the armor of God, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. What do you think that's about? Praying in the Spirit, because it's a spiritual fight. What's that about? Being on the alert. What's that about? Because the devil is a roaring lion seeking to devour you. But you serve God who can shut the mouth of the lions. We done seen that in Daniel 6. Y'all feel it? But I'm going to war. Now, some of y'all, I know, because this is the way I think too. I hate that my faith is like this sometimes, but I can just be honest with you. My faith is like this. Man, why I want to start something and it won't be nothing? Why I want to go pick a fight with the devil? Here's why. Two reasons. Number one, because I can. Because the Bible tells me that there are angels on my side. That's what the Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 7. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Angels fighting for you. The Bible says in Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10, in Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he's the head over all rule and authority. All demons, all the power of the devil bows before Jesus, and you are now in Christ, and Christ is in you. That's your place now. And the Bible tells us that Christ is in you. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he who's in you than the one in the world. You go to war because you can, because you've been empowered to do so, because you are an ambassador of Jesus. You are the highest spiritual representative of God on this planet. Go to war. And go to war because you want back what the devil been taking. You ain't getting my marriage. You're not getting my health. You're not getting my sobriety. You're not getting my purity. You can't have it. You can't have my kids. You can't have my work. You can't have my integrity. This is war. Come on, this is what we're calling the church to. P28 ain't a program. P28 is a declaration of war. That I want the kingdom of God in my life and through my life. Fight. That's your word. Come on, fight at school. I ain't talking about throwing down. I ain't talking about throwing fists. I'm talking about throwing prayers. I'm talking about whenever you pray about your spouse and your marriage, you pray, God, she ain't the problem, he ain't the problem. God, we're on the same team. Make us one. But God, I pray against the forces of the enemy that are wearing us out right now. And in Jesus' name, I take authority over my children. I take authority over this house. In Jesus' name, I declare I am your child. I will not give in. Y'all with me? You're fighting. Here's the fourth word, persevere. Persevere. Daniel prayed for 21 days. The answer was released on day one, but the spiritual fight was on. What if Daniel had given up and stopped praying? Day one, answer's on the way. He prays for 21 days before the answer finally comes through. May have been 24 days. What if he'd have quit praying? Come on, work with me for just a second. I prayed, God, sanctify my imagination. So I pray I'm not misleading you, but here's what's in my mind. Daniel's praying. God, I need understanding. God, I just humble myself. I need understanding. God, help me understand this. And he prays for a day. He prays for 3 days. He prays for 8 days. He prays for 18 days. But he ain't got his answer yet. Now, what we know is the answer's on the way. He don't know that. After 18 days, he's like, I ain't doing this no more. This is a waste of time. God don't even hear me whenever I pray. So Daniel leaves the prayer place. He leaves that spirit of prayer, that engagement with God, and he's off doing other things. But on day 21, the angel's showing up. Where's Daniel? Oh, he's playing tennis. He's getting in 18. Where's Daniel? I mean, he's chilling watching Netflix. Where's Daniel? I mean, he's in the club. He's in the bar, man, just blowing off a little steam. Numbing a little pain. Y'all see that? Daniel stayed in the place of prayer, believing that God was going to answer him, and so he prayed through. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. When my little girl memorized this verse in kindergarten, they memorized it this way: keep on praying. Daddy, you got to keep on praying. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, you do. You got to keep on praying. The Bible tells you in James 5:16 that the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Come on, you can be powerful in prayer because your God is powerful. You be righteous, you be humble, you be surrendered, you walk with Jesus, he's going to answer you. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. This is the one time in Scripture where I wish we could read it like it's in the Greek. Because when it says ask, it's in a durative tense, which means ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking, because the answer's coming. Don't give up. You pray, and you pray through with perseverance. Doug Grantham is a friend of mine. He's a part of our Pine Lake family in Clinton. He told me recently about one of his P-28s last year, which was really about a 12-year journey for him. 12 years ago, Doug was not a believer. He was in his living room on a business call where the call turned south, and Doug said it turns into a cussing match. I know y'all have never done that. That's never happened to y'all in business. But in Doug's life, that happened, right? I got a feeling that happens quite often. But it's ugly, and his 18-month-old grandson is in the room, who can probably only say a handful of words, but he's watching his grandfather, and he says one word. He just says, "Pawpaw." And Doug said he said it to me as if he was asking me, "Are you okay? Pawpaw?" Doug said it crushed him. And it led him to this place of, in the following days, just to fall on his knees and say, "God, I need you. I am not who you made me to be. Forgive me, cleanse me, come into my life and change me." Doug was baptized. He's been a part of our faith family. But he prayed from that day forward that God would give him an opportunity to speak into his grandson Landon's life what God used Landon to do that day. And so he's waiting on the right time. A couple of years ago, we did an initiative called Making Room. I don't know if y'all remember that. We gave carabiners. Some of y'all have been around here for a while. You know, who's the next link? Who's your one person you can pray for? Landon was Doug's carabiner. And he prayed for him to come to faith, and yet it hadn't happened. The opportunity, the door hadn't opened. Last year, Landon became Doug's P-28. I pray, God, for my grandson to come to know you. February 22nd, 2020, last year before COVID, Doug's riding, Landon's in the back seat. From the back seat, Landon says, "Pawpaw." He said, "What, bud?" "When I turn 13, I'm gonna get baptized because I'm giving my life to Jesus." Doug wanted to pull over, but had a wreck. He said it was just a God moment. God had moved in his little man's heart, and when he turned 13, he was gonna get baptized because he's asking Jesus in his heart at that moment. Doug pulled over and said, "Landon, let me tell you something that God used you to do when I was 12 years back. You were 18 months old. Let me tell you what God used." He shared it with him. It is an incredible, incredible moment. But guess what happened last weekend when Landon was 13 years old? Finally, Landon got baptized. He got baptized as an answer to a grandfather's prayers who had been praying for 12 plus years. Come on, ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. God's coming through. Last word, faith. Faith. You got to believe that God will give you what you need right when you need it. You may not always get what you wanted, but you're going to get what you need. Luke 11:13, Jesus said, "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" God's going to give you what you need. And if you don't know what you need, if you can't figure it out, just say, "Holy Spirit, I need you. God, give me your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me." God guarantees he'll answer that prayer. Daniel received peace and strength and courage. God didn't remove the conflict and the pain, but he gave Daniel the ability to get through it, to write down the vision, and to live in hope until the day of his death. He didn't get what he wanted, but he got what he needed. So you got to believe that God's going to meet you there, and you got to believe that God wins. No matter where you turn in this book, doesn't matter which book you read in here, every one of them end at the same place. God's going to win. He's going to do it. Ain't nothing your God can't do. You're going to see a victory. It's a powerful name. He's bigger than you thought. He's better than you thought. That's the point. God wins. Jesus has overcome death, hell, and the grave. He sits right now at the right hand of the Father. He waits for the command from the Father to go back, come back, and get my children. Put an end to evil and sin for all time. Now, here's the deal. I don't know when that's coming. I don't even know how exactly that's going to go down, but I do know that. And that's what I want us as a faith family to wrap our hearts and minds around. We know that. God wins. And so we believe and we pray. No prayer, no power. Much prayer, much power. Come on, would you join me? Can we turn the power up right now? Come on, across the room right now. Let's just pray together. What's on your heart? What's on your mind? What's your burden? Is there something there? Place where you need breakthrough? Would you just say, God, I don't even know how to pray. I'm not a real good prayer. God, I ain't used to this, but I know I need you. Would you just ask God to own the prayer request? Would you just surrender it to him along with your life and living? Come on, it's the first place to start. Jesus, I need you. I need you to change me first. Before you change anything else, God, start with me. God, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. I'm a dead, miserable mess, spiritually speaking. And Jesus is my only hope. And I've turned away from you for 20, 30, 40 years, 18, whatever it's been. But God, I turn to you right now. Come on, do it right now. Pray to God. He'll hear you. And in a minute, you text the word Jesus to 57555. And we got some great people who are going to help you take your next steps in your journey. Some of you need some prayer. You need people to pray with you. Come on, text the word pray in a minute. The same number, 57555, we're going to help you. But right now, you pray. If you don't have a P28, would you ask God to burden your heart for one thing? God, what do you want me to be praying about? Would you ask God to show you what you could fast from for the next 21 days, starting tomorrow morning? What could you fast from to seek the power of heaven? Would you see yourself as a spiritual warrior, defending, protecting, and bringing the kingdom of heaven right here on this earth? Father, we bless you. We praise you. I declare that God, right now, there is breakthrough coming. Lord, right now, the request, the answer may not get back to us for a few days, weeks, months, or even years. But God, right now, you're hearing and you're answering. God, you're sending your angel. God, you're sending your message. God, you're speaking through your spirit. You're changing things. God, you're going to bring the victory. We believe it. And God, I speak it out. You're bigger than I thought. You're better than I can imagine. Even in the darkness, you're still light. God, even when I feel alone, you're still with me. God, we bless you and we praise you. Build faith, build hope. And God, receive our praise. God, sustain us. Release your kingdom come around us. God, make a distinction of your people on this planet. God, let our light shine forth and be bright. And God, may it be attractive to the world around us who lives in darkness. God, we declare that the gates of hell cannot stand against our prayers in the name of Jesus. That what you decree, God, no man can stop. What you open, God, no man can shut. By the power of Jesus, because of your goodness, by your Spirit, God, let it be so. In the name of Christ, amen.